to talk with you all about today is, and I'm going to end at 12. That's my goal. Unless the Holy Spirit is doing something special, then I'll do what he's doing. But otherwise, we'll see what happens. I had this on my heart to talk with you about being devoted to the family of God. Now, how many of you know when you gave your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit came into you and you became a new creation, you immediately became part of the family of God, right? Yes. So the church is not an organization. Like the Church of Jesus Christ, it's not an organization that you even like, you know, have your name on a membership roll kind of thing. It's a family. And God is the Father. And that's, you see this language all throughout the Bible, where God calls himself a father on purpose. And he calls us sons and daughters. Amen. And then when he talks about each other, how we relate to one another, he calls us brothers and sisters. And then he talks about like in the church, because it's a family, he talks about in the church, and we're going to look at the scripture in a minute, how there are fathers and mothers even in the church, how there are children in the church. There's the young men and the young women in the church. And we're going to look at this in just a little bit. But it's so important that when you think about the kingdom of God and when you think about the church, that you have to retrain your mind to look at it biblically the way God sees it. And God sees us as a family. God sees us as a family. And so how many of you know family is important? Yeah, family is very, very important. And I want to look at a scripture in 1 John chapter 2. And I want to talk about three different types of family members that are described in the Bible that are in the church. So 1 John 2, I'm skipping Ephesians 2, which is on your sheet. How many of you have notes? Okay, good. I'm skipping the first scripture. You can read it on your own. It's a great scripture, but I'm trying to just get straight into what's really on my heart. So 1 John chapter 2, he's writing to the church, and I want you to notice the three different categories of people in the church he mentions. He says, I write to you, what's the first one? Nope. Not fathers. I write to you what? Children. Dear children, right? How many of you know we like our kids, actually? Like, they're dear to us. Because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. And then I write to you what? Next. Are you guys reading your notes? All right. I write to you, fathers, is the next one. Because you have known him who is from the beginning. And I write to you what? Young men, because you have overcome the evil one. And then he repeats them again. He says, I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. And then he says, verse 14, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. And I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you. And you have overcome the evil one. So I want you to just notice three different types of family members that are in the church. First, he talks about the children. Okay? So children are like young believers. They're like new in the faith, right? They just came, like Jessica. Everybody wave at Jessica. You have an awesome, actually, can you come here real quick? I know, I didn't prepare her for this at all. But she's a bold woman. She's got this. So you guys, most of you know her already. This is your sister in Christ. And so like the children are, they're the new believers. Like they've just come into the kingdom of God. And it's just like when a baby comes into, you know, a natural family. How many of you know, like babies are celebrated? Everybody's like, I want to hold the baby. Like, oh, look at, they're so cute. Look at the little nose. I mean, they're just like, they're the cutest thing. They can do no wrong. It's just like, they're absolutely amazing, right? Everybody celebrates the children. And it's that way in the spiritual family as well. When somebody comes out of darkness into the light, into the kingdom of God, there's rejoicing. Like in heaven, the angels rejoice. God the Father rejoices. And us on earth, all the brothers and sisters, we rejoice. right? I remember when I was like 12 years old, my mom had a little girl. I had a little sister born when I was 12. And then when I was 14, she had another little sister, another one. And I was like, I'm the brother, right? I'm the big brother. I was so proud of my sisters. I mean, I'd get up with them in the morning. I'd go into their room. I would get them up. I would change their diapers. I would get them dressed. I would like hold them. I would like help feed them with the bottles and stuff like that. I'd take them into my mom, you know, all that kind of stuff, like to begin my day. I was the proudest brother in the whole world. I just loved them. And that's how it is as brothers and sisters when we have a new family member come into the kingdom. But I wanted you to share your testimony because some of you didn't get to hear this. So when you got baptized, this is good. This is training. This is training. You're really good. So that's what we do with children, get trained. So, but your testimony was so powerful about your son being healed. And then also just like what happened to you that day you got baptized. And can you just share that real quick, like you did at your baptism? Yeah. You did so good. I'll let you share it in the mic so they can hear you.
Okay, so my son, he was born on December 20th. 6 days after he was born, he fell really sick to a virus and caused multi-organ failure. We got transported from here on to Sioux Falls, and then immediately from Sioux Falls to Iowa, the Children's Hospital, because they had needed an equipment to keep his heart going. But today, he's completely healed. His heart, everything that happened, it caused internal stuff, like with his heart and brain bleed. But everything, as of today, he has a clean bill of health, and the doctors don't know how. They can't explain it. But, yeah.
And that was like, wasn't that like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Where the heart doctor said,
yeah, that
I
was
can't even.
About two Thursdays ago. They just can't explain it. They don't understand. They never seen it where his heart just healed itself. So, and the brain doctor said, we're letting you go because his brain bleed is gone and he has a normal brain now. So.
So good. Okay. And then, yeah, share what happened.
And two Sundays ago, yep. Right, I was here and the ladies laid hands on me and we all prayed. And one Pacific lady laid her hands on me and I just felt she grabbed a hold of my soul. And I just felt relieved, felt weightless. I feel different. And I'm happy. I'm just so happy.
Amen. Come on. Perfect.
So, yeah, and then I had baptism, and it was just so amazing. That's all I have to say.
You did it. I love you. Awesome. Good job. Amen. So excited for you. And she's her boyfriend Jonathan, right? Jonathan is like super super cool guy. I've seen him a few times before when he used to work at Walmart. It just seems like a magnetic personality, just super nice guy. So he's a cool guy too. So yeah. So in the family of God, there's the children, then there's the young men, or I think of the youth. You know, it could be young men, young women, because it's not about gender he's talking about. But the youth, if you read the descriptions of the youth, it says that they are strong. They have experienced some victories in the Lord at this point in their walk with Jesus. They're not little kids anymore. You know, little kids, it's like, yay, we belong to the Father, right? Like, we're part of the family. Woohoo! But then what happens, it's not long before you start running into your first test. Temptation comes and you're like, oh my goodness, I'm being tempted to sin and I know it's wrong. What am I going to do? And it's like immediately you have to start growing. You have to start growing. And what you do is like, what do I do? And hopefully you've got some spiritual fathers and some brothers and sisters around you in the family of God that could say, here's what you do when you're tempted. You get into the Word of God. You stand on His promises. You believe by faith. You resist temptation. You submit to God and the devil will flee. And you just get advice from people who've already fought the same battles and won. You guys with me? And you learn how to fight and overcome the devil and overcome temptation. And what happens is you do that enough times And all of a sudden, you start getting some, you're not just a little baby anymore. Now you got some strength. Now you got some muscle. Now you've actually taken on the devil and won a few times with God's help. And then, and so that's what the Bible calls the young men. And then, or the youth, you could say. And so young men in the family of God, they've experienced some victories, but you know what they need? They need affirmation, encouragement, and wisdom. They need continued affirmation and encouragement and wisdom. So when they do right, you know, we need to tell them, dude, that was awesome what you just did. Like, you're doing really good right now. Keep doing what you're doing. You got it. That you're right on. You got this. Just, I know it doesn't feel powerful, but just keep doing it. It is powerful. Keep going. And they need encouragement and they need wisdom. When they're like, I got this other battle that I'm facing right now and I don't know how to get past this one. Then you go to the fathers and the mothers, your brothers and sisters in the family. And you're like, when you face battles like this, what did you do to win? And then we pass on the wisdom. Are you guys with me? And we help one another become great in the eyes of the Lord. That's what we do. So the young men, they got some victories under their belt. They've got some spiritual strength to them. And they just need encouragement and wisdom to keep growing. And then the final category mentioned in this passage is the fathers and the mothers. How many of you are thankful for the fathers and mothers in the house of the Lord? And I'm not only talking about natural fathers and mothers. I'm talking about spiritual fathers and mothers. You know, the spiritual fathers and mothers, when you read the description in this passage of them, they are mature in the Lord. They've invested. They have a history of investing their strength into others and reproducing the fruit that's come forth in their life. They invest in others and it brings forth the same fruit of righteousness and peace and joy and love, etc., in other people, because they're constantly just investing, encouraging, building somebody up, taking them under their wing, loving them, listening to them, correcting them when they need correction. Say, if you keep going on this, that this is where you're going to end up and you're not going to be happy about it. I know from experience, don't do that. Right now, let's go this way and do it God's way. You guys with me? I'm so thankful for the fathers and the mothers. So I want to talk a little bit about each one of these three categories. First of all, every believer is a child who should be actively pursuing relationships with spiritual fathers and mothers to learn from. Now, I'm going to say this. I see myself as a spiritual father in the family of God. But I also see myself as a child in the family of God. Like, I'm all three. And everybody, even the most mature fathers and mothers you can think of, you never grow beyond the need to connect with other fathers and mothers and have them pray for you when you need prayer. You know, I was wrestling through something yesterday in my emotions, and I'm like, I need to talk to a father. And so I got an appointment. I'm calling Steve Wilson this afternoon, and I'm just going to have him pray for me. Because I just times, it doesn't matter who you are, every one of us is a child in the family of God in the sense that we need fathers and mothers speaking into our life. We need their strength, and we need their wisdom. Here's the important point. I want you to get this about being a child. Everybody listening? We need to cultivate an attitude of honor and humility. Everybody say honor, humility. As a child of the Lord, if you want to grow, you have to cultivate an attitude of honor and humility to receive from the spiritual fathers and mothers. Because if you will humble yourself and listen to their counsel and actually go to them, seek them out and be like, okay, I'm struggling in this, but I've been watching you and you look like you're doing pretty good in the thing that I'm doing bad at. How do you do that? Like, how do you figure that out? Like, give me one or two tips. You know, I don't even need the whole thing. Just give me one or two things that I could start implementing to start getting some breakthrough in this area. How do you do that? And it takes humility, and you got to be teachable. Amen. And it takes humility to not only receive it when it comes, but to seek out wisdom from these people, to seek out godly counsel. The Bible encourages us to do this. And this is what, the ones who are humble and teachable enough to go seek it out, they grow the fastest. They mature the fastest. And a lot of times the devil will lie to us and he'll be like, well, you know, he just gets in our head. And we start thinking like, well, I don't want to be a bother. I don't want to bother them. I don't want to bother them. You're not a bother. You're not a bother to them. You know what the book of Proverbs says? A wise son brings great joy to his father and mother. And when somebody's coming and saying, I need help in this area, is there like one or two things that you could give me? Or can you just pray for me on this to overcome in this area? And it brings great joy to us. We're like, dude, I love your hunger. I love that you care so much about this, that you're growing in this and you're pursuing whatever access you have to wisdom to be able to put it into practice and overcome. Those are the ones who grow the fastest many, many times. So I encourage you, you want to lean into that. I'm so thankful. When I first got saved, I was 17 years old. I was from a broken family, and I had this desperate longing to be a godly man, a godly husband, and a godly father someday. But I didn't know how to do it. I hardly knew what it looked like because I didn't have good examples growing up as in my home. My family was a broken family. They were not good marriages. None of them lasted. And so I was like, okay, I don't want that kind of marriage. I want the good kind that is what God wants it to be. But how do I do it, God? And right away, my youth pastor, I was 17 years old, my youth pastor just took me under his wing. And he was my first spiritual father. And he began to, he became a spiritual father to me. And he saw the call of God on my life before I saw it. And he encouraged me to pursue it. Because I was still on my childhood dream, like, I'm going to get a baseball scholarship and go to college. And then I'm going to be a professional baseball player. And if that doesn't work out, I'm going to be a teacher and a baseball coach. You know, that's what I'm going to do with my life. And I'm just going to be on fire for God while I do it, which is a good thing to do, by the way. I think I would have fun doing that. But he began to ask me questions. He began to ask me questions every once in a while. He'd be like, you ever thought about going into ministry? And I'd be like, I mean, I respected him, so I listened to the question. I'm like, well, I mean, I don't know. Honestly, every once in a while, it kind of pops up in the back of my mind, but then I'm like, well, what? I don't know. I'm like, going into ministry, like, what? Like, it's a new thought to me. And then he just began to plant seeds over that first year of me serving the Lord, and he just began to say to me, he's like, I see a call of God on your life. He's like, I see a call of God on your life. And he just began to, he saw it in me before I even saw it. How many of you know that's what good fathers and mothers do? Even over your own children? I would pray over my children when they were like toddlers. And most of the time I'd wait until they were asleep. Because they're toddlers, right? They don't want to just sit there. So I'd wait till they're asleep and I'd go in their room and I'd just pray over them. And the Lord would show me who they were going to be in their adult years. The Lord would give me prophetic words over them. He would tell me about, this is the way I made their heart. This is the gifts that they have and what they're going to be able to do with them. And I would be able to declare those things over them. And even as they grew up, as children, I would just, every once in a while, I'd just be like, you know what the Lord told me about you? And I would tell them. And they would take it in. And it begins to shape their identity as sons. And it gives them the equipment they need, the promise, the word of the Lord over their life. It gives them the equipment that they need to become young men and eventually fathers and mothers themselves, where they hang on to the promise of their identity and they say, this is who I am. And they begin to walk it out by faith Two steps forward, one step back. Two steps forward, one step back. But the fathers, they speak it into their life. And that's what my youth pastor did for me. And he was an example. He had a great marriage. I would watch him and the way he related to his wife. He taught me how to pray. He taught me how to read the Bible every single day. That's what he told me. He taught me how to make disciples. He said, you should always be investing in someone. I mean, I'm a new believer. I was a pretty new believer. And he'd be like, you should be sharing your faith like right away. Is the day you get saved, you should be telling people about Jesus. He's like, just tell them what's happening in your life. Like, he'd be like, this is what it is to follow Jesus. He taught me how to be a man of God from the day I was born again into the kingdom. Or for, not the day, but right soon after, like right away. He says, you should always be investing in someone. Share your faith. Share your faith. Read the Bible. Pray. Live a godly life. Say no to temptation. He would tell us that. He would actually teach us, hey, pay attention to the movies that you watch. Because what you watch and what you listen to, it will stir up desires inside of you. And if you're watching movie with sex scenes in them and lust stuff in them, it will stir up immoral desires in you. And you will be like shooting yourself in the foot when you're trying to like not give in to lust. It's like, you know. And I'm like, that's brilliant. Like, that makes sense. You know what I mean? And I remember just thinking like, yeah, like, and I was watching a lot of bad movies with a lot of bad scenes in them. And I was like, oh yeah, I should start steering away from that. But I thank God for the fathers in my life. He believed in me. He corrected me. I remember like one time, you know, I was doing something that was inappropriate. And I didn't really think of it as inappropriate at the time because I'm just like a little child, kind of like a young man, hybrid little child at this season. And I had a few victories under my belt, but I was doing something that was a little bit inappropriate, and he saw me. And he pulled me aside later into his office, and he says, I saw you doing this. And he says, people look to you as a leader. And if people would have saw you doing that, it could have been a stumbling block. And he just began to call me to account. He's like, you have greater influence than you even give yourself credit for. He says, you need to pay attention and stay away from the questionable things. And to be honest with you, I was like half humble, half proud. Because when he told me, I was like, okay, I fear God. I'm going to listen to you. But honestly, my knee-jerk reaction on the inside was like, oh, what? What are you talking about? That wasn't that bad. It wasn't that. You're blowing it out of proportion. And you know, there was the defensiveness that was going on. But at least I had the humility to like be quiet, take it in, process it. He's probably right, and put it into practice. But God, spiritual fathers correct you. Okay, let's go on. Young person. Every believer is not only a child, but a young person or young man, it says in this passage, who should be actively pursuing relationships with other brothers and sisters in the Lord to strengthen and encourage one another toward godliness. And here's the key point I want you to get. So you need all of these in your life, these relationships in the family of God. You know, as a child, we need the fathers. But then as a brother and sister, you need the relationships with other brothers and sisters in the Lord. They're not like a spiritual father necessarily to you, but you're growing together and encouraging and spurring one another on to good works. And you're holding each other accountable. And we need those relationships in our life. You know, I think even the last 3 or 4 weeks, Anna, she's out there somewhere. Anna and Jennifer, have just been, you know, they've been friends for a while. There she is. Hi, Anna. So her and Jennifer have been hanging out for like the last probably, 4 weeks or something, 3 or 4 weeks, just kind of intentionally getting together, studying the Bible together, and then pulling in their friends and sharing the Bible. But you know what that is? That's like two sisters in the Lord, like coming together and encouraging and spurring one another on. And both of them are receiving great strength from their interactions together. And we all need that. You know, I remember when I was first saved, I got to say this, the brother-sister, you know, type relationship, here's an important point. Is everybody hearing me? We need to cultivate humility. Everybody say humility again, okay? To receive from other believers, brothers and sisters, and we got to love to serve them. Now, here's why this is important, because I've seen people, I've been in the church for a lot of years now, and I've seen people who are always by themselves. Like, if they come to church, they kind of sit off in the very back by themselves, alone, and then I talk to them, and they're just like, you know, nobody loves me here. I've been coming here for weeks, and nobody comes and says hi to me. Nobody's friendly to me. And I encourage them this. I was like, well, man, I'm sorry for that, you know? Like, that's too bad. But let me ask you a question. Have you gone to say hi to anybody? Have you gone up to somebody and sought to just serve them, expecting nothing in return? Because a lot of times what we do is we sit back with offense, right? And we blame everybody else for the exact same thing that we're doing. So I would say the Bible actually commands us to love one another, right? Now, we got to be humble to receive it when it comes, and we thank God for this. But here's what the Bible also says. You will reap what you sow. And if you go around, and you could sit there and like, nobody loves me, nobody ever talks to me. Or you could say, man, I'd like some friends. That's really what's happening inside. Why don't I just go start loving some people and see which one sticks? Let me go start sowing some seeds of love and encouragement. I promise you, you won't have to do it very long before people will be wanting to be your friend, right? And so I encourage you, go love somebody. Go just say, your dress is awesome. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're coming. Hey, you want to go out to eat if there's a restaurant that's open? Otherwise, you want to come over and I'll make you something? You know what I mean? But just be friendly. And then what if you do that and they're like, no, thank you? Don't go back into your shell and just be like, I tried. I'm licking my wounds. You know, I tried so hard. It didn't work. It's like, just go love somebody again. What if, now it's impossible that you could do that diligently for your whole life and never have, you'll have so many people that love you. It's impossible that it won't work. But I'm going to tell you that, let's just say hypothetically that miraculously you could constantly sow love and encouragement into people and somehow nobody ever befriended you. It's not possible, but let's just say. And you stand before Jesus, what's he going to say? That's what matters. He's going to say, good job. You obeyed my command to love. And you can say, nobody loved me. He's like, yeah, that's okay though. I loved you and I saw everything and this is all the good that I did through you. It's not possible to not have friends when you do that. But this is my encouragement. Be humble enough. Go take the initiative and love on somebody. Serve somebody. And then be humble enough to receive from a brother or sister. Like maybe, here's the thing. A lot of times, children, even in a natural family, it's like they can, you know, they have to receive correction from mom and dad, right? But if mom and dad are like, don't eat cookies today. You're not allowed to eat cookies without permission. And the mom and dad are upstairs. The kids are alone downstairs in the kitchen. And the brother goes over there and starts getting a cookie, right? And then the other brother's like, hey, you can't do that. Mom said not to do that. What are you doing? And then they're like, shut up, man. I remember last week you stole a cookie, right? They're like, you're worse than I. You took like half the jar. There was none left. I got to get it now or else it's not going to be here when I want it. You know, and it's like, you know, brothers and sisters sometimes, they have a hard time, but you know what? We have to lean into humility and be able to receive from, even though it's like, who do you think you are? You're not a leader. You don't have to tell me what to do. No, there's somebody who cares about you and they're helping you do what God said to do. You guys with me? So we got to be able to humble ourselves and receive correction and give forgiveness and all that. You're going to have to do that a million times. Welcome to being part of a family, right? People, you know, if somebody were to ask me, what's the key to a great marriage? I would probably say a couple things, but one for sure I would say right off the bat, get really good at forgiving and apologizing. Because you're not going to agree all the time. Because you're two different people, and and you're both growing, and you've got to get really good at forgiving and really good at humbling yourself and saying, I forgive you, and humbling yourself and saying, I'm sorry, I was wrong. You guys with me? That's one of the keys to a great relationship. And it's that way with, how do I have a great relationship with my brothers and my sisters? You know, we want to have that. All right, let me go on. I feel like I could just talk about this for a long time. I have so many things to say about it. Okay, I apologize in advance. I'm not ending at 12. I really had sincere intentions. Okay, so I'm going to keep going. Okay, in my walk with Jesus, I have so much to say on this. When I first got saved, I was 17. Like right away in the youth group, I had brothers and sisters that I developed friendships with. And there's like guys like Donnie Mooney, he's a pastor now. Mark Short. Chad Stafford. You know, these were like, he's also a pastor now. Like, these were friends of mine in my youth group, and we would hang out. Laura Stafford was Chad's sister. Like, we were really good friends. And we would hang out a lot, and we would, like, we actually, as friends, we're teenagers, okay? We would hang out, and we liked sports. The guys did. And we would usually talk about sports and play sports. But you know what we'd also do? We'd talk about the Lord. Seriously. Like, we're teenage guys, and we'd just be talking about, you know, like, oh, man, God showed me this in the Word. And actually, Laura, it was, when I first got saved, I was big into the New Testament. I just read the New Testament. But the Old Testament, I just didn't read it that much. You know what I mean? And she was big time into the Old Testament. And she'd just say, oh, I love the stories in the Old Testament. I'm like, yeah. And she's like, and I'm like, yeah, I should probably do that more. I just read the news. She's like, you got to start reading the old too. She's like, it's amazing. The stories are incredible. I'm like, yes, you're right. And so I started just forcing myself to read the Old Testament regularly. I'm so glad. I love it all now. And you guys know that. I talk about read the whole thing all the time. It's like so important. But man, Laura is just my sister in the Lord. Talking about what God was doing in her life, it imparted it and rubbed it off to me. And as I grew up in the Lord, over the last year or so, I found myself in this place as a pastor where, you know, the season moved on and my, you know, brothers and different, a lot of them live in different places. And so I had a lot of relationships like with spiritual children, so to speak, where they're always looking to me as a leader and I'm kind of speaking into their life and investing in them. And about, I realized, I'm like, I don't really have any regular fellowship with like the brother sister kind of thing, and where I can just share like, man, I'm struggling in this. I need you to pray for me. You know what I mean? And so, you know what I did is I sought them out, and I have a friend named Justin who he came here one time to help me with a training we did on disciple making. He lives in Sioux Falls. Another friend named Aaron, who also lives in Sioux Falls. Daniel Granz is another one of them. Anyway, like Justin and Aaron, I just got a hold of them. I'm like, hey guys, like I need accountability and encouragement from brothers in my life, like on a regular basis, not just every few months when I happen to see you. So what if we make it a goal once a week, let's connect on a phone call. And we've been doing that for months and months and months. And we do that, the three of us. We'll get together on a phone call, on a Zoom call usually. And we just each of us takes a turn and we share. These are the victories I'm having right now. These are the struggles I'm having right now. And then we encourage one another. We hold one another accountable. We speak into each other's lives. I'm getting so much strength right now through that regular interaction. But again, listen, we need to seek out the brother-sister relationships. We need to, as children, we need to seek out the fathers and the mothers in our life. Don't just wait for somebody to discover you. Seriously. You know, don't be like, I'm starving for a father or mother in the faith. And like, man, why doesn't anybody notice me? And why don't you just initiate contact? And when you initiate contact, I mean, you don't even have to do it in a way like, will you adopt me? Will you talk to me every single week? You know what I mean? But what if there's just like, hey, what if you just contacted them and just saying like, pick like one thing and be like, listen, this is an area of my life I want to grow in. Like, and I see, like, one of the things I observe about you is I observe this as a strength in your life. Like, can you give me one or two tips for how to grow in that? And then can you just pray a blessing over me? Because that's what fathers and mothers do. They bless. You guys with me? And then you just do that. And then, like, next time, week two, whatever, later, there's something else or maybe the same area, call them up and say, okay, here I am with this. I've been putting that into practice because that's important. Right? I've been doing the thing you talked to me about the first, and this is what's happening in my life. And now I have this. Can you give me one or two things? And just begin initiating it. I'm telling you, like we love that. Like, we're like, man, this person is awesome. They are intentional about their spiritual growth. So be proactive on it. And then the last group I want to look at is being a father or mother in the faith. I just want to say this. I think this is on your sheet. Every believer must say, that's me. Like, actually say that. Say, that's me. Okay. Must actively seek to invest grace into other believers, preparing ourselves to be spiritual fathers and mothers. Like, Jessica got baptized 2 weeks ago, right? She gets baptized 2 weeks ago. But right now, Jessica, like, you are ready to start investing in other people. And I remember when I was first saved, I first came into the kingdom, and my youth pastor, he'd be like, you got to be investing in people. You got to be investing in people. I'm like, yeah, I got to do it. And I remember, like, one time, like, the Lord spoke to me, and he highlighted five young men that were in my youth group that were younger. They were like 2 or 3 years younger than I was. Because I was like, I just graduated at this point. I was a freshman in college, and they were like sophomores or something. And five young men, and he's like, I want you to disciple them. And I'm like, I was so pumped. I was like, yeah! I call them the Fab Five. That's who I call them. And I went to each one of them. I was like, hey, I would love to meet with you once a week on Saturdays. We'll just meet, and I'd love to just disciple you and invest in you. And they were like, yeah. I mean, they were so excited. They're like, let's do that. And then I remembered, I was like, the first time is coming where we're supposed to meet, and I'm supposed to disciple them. And I remember I'm like, what am I going to tell them? Like, I don't even know what to do. I'm like, I'm excited about investing, but what do I invest? What do I know? What do I even, I seriously, it was like this. It was kind of a crisis inside of me. I was like, well, I don't even know what to say, what to do, and what am I supposed to do? And I figured something out. You know how I figured it out? I was just like, well, what's that thing that, like, Joe did with us, my youth pastor, did a few times, and I just copy that. And so we got together. I'm like, let's just, I think we would read a Bible story together, and then we'd pray together, and then we'd go play basketball or go play baseball. Like, that's what we did. And to be honest, I can't even remember what I invested in them. I it was just like, but it worked. Do you know that four out of five? And the fifth one I haven't kept track of. I don't know where he is, but four out of five of those are all in ministry today. It wasn't just because of me, I promise you. There was other things investing in them besides me that were probably way better. But it was so important for me. You know how I learn to disciple people is by discipling people. You just figure it out as you go. Like, you constantly, you get in yourself, I'm going to obey. I'm going to invest in people. And then you have the crisis. Oh, no, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Like, what do I do? Then you go to your fathers or mothers or brothers and sisters. What do I do? What do you do when you're investing in people? Just give me something. And they'll be like, try this, this, and this. You're like, okay. You just try it, and it feels awkward. And you're like, this wasn't near as good as when they did that for me. I mean, this was so boring. This was lame. I mean, and you just like, that wasn't very good. But then you just keep doing it because God says to do it. You with me? And as you keep doing it, then you have that one time that you met with them and you're like, oh, that little part, that was powerful. Like, I think God just showed up there. Like, that was awesome. And then you learned, hey, remember that. Let's try that again, right? Let's keep doing the stuff that worked. And you're like, this other stuff, that wasn't that good. Okay, let's just like not do that again. And you learn by doing. But every believer is called to be a father or mother to somebody in the faith. And we do that. I was just going to make this statement. We don't become mature suddenly with a title of honor. We become fathers and mothers by regularly serving and investing our strength into others. So even a brand new believer like Jessica, you know, she's like, I don't even know the whole Bible yet and all this kind of stuff. I'm assuming she hasn't told me this. I'd be really impressed. If you already knew the whole Bible, I'd be like, wow. But she's like, what do I do? But you know something. You know that Jesus is God. You know that Jesus changed your life. So you can tell that to somebody. Like the stuff, the two or three pieces of things that you know, you can give to another person. Because if it helped you, those two or three pieces will do it for them as well. You with me? And then as you grow and you learn more, you actually get more equipped and you're able to be even more effective as a father and mother investing and building people. I'm just going to read this couple sentences to you. Hang with me, okay? When children are not fathered, they are left to fend for themselves. Do you know how many people in the body of Christ are fending for themselves? They're in a troubled marriage, and they don't know if anyone they can go to and say, how do I make this thing work? They're like I was. I wanted to make it work. I just didn't know how. I needed a father and mother to show me what it looked like and to teach me what the Bible says about being a godly husband. You guys with me? You know how many people are floundering by themselves trying to figure it out? And do you know how helpful it is when somebody comes alongside them, just puts an arm around them, and says, hey, how are you? How's your marriage going? How are your children doing? How's your relationship with your mom and dad? How's that going? How are things going for you at work? Be a good listener. And then let them share. And then you don't fix everything at once. Just pick one thing and encourage them in that area. One thing that it just seems to be the most urgent need that's jumping out to you in the moment. And just encourage them by, you know what, like, try this. Try this. This is what I did when I was in a similar situation that you just described to me. And I did this, and it really worked good. So why don't you try that? And then check up on them in a week or two. Like, call them up, you know, or come beside them and say, hey, how's it going for you doing that? How are things working? And just begin to invest what you've learned. Amen? It's as simple as that. So when they're not fathered, though, when children are not fathered, they're left to fend for themselves and often become problem children because nobody ever took the time to invest in them. You know what? There's probably, I'm guessing, in this room, there's probably people, and I don't say this to shame you. I'm saying this to make us aware of needs in our own midst, okay? There's probably people that you grew up, maybe you had a mom or dad around to show you how to be responsible and how to be disciplined, how to keep a job. How to, like, even when you don't feel good, you get up and you show up 5 minutes early and you work hard while you're there, even though you don't feel good. And you do it with a good attitude and you be a good, diligent, faithful worker. You know, a lot of times we take that for granted because our parents taught us that, right? But so many, they didn't have parents that taught them that. And so as adults, they struggle to keep a job and it's hard for them and they just need a mom or dad to come alongside them and say, you can do this. You got it. You got what it takes. You just haven't had the opportunity to be taught how to do this yet. So let me tell you what I learned. Does that make sense? There's people probably here who don't know how to manage their money. They don't even know what a budget is. They don't know how to budget their money. And so they constantly are in debt or they're making bad choices that are getting them into a mess and they're stressed because I don't know how to make my money work. It's like you had the privilege of being taught probably by, I mean, my mom, I got a paycheck and she was like, sat down right away, make a budget. She helped me make a budget. tithe first, and then put this much in savings, and then, I mean, she told me, it's like, okay. And so I knew what to do with the paycheck as soon as I got it, because my mom taught me how to do it. But you know, there's a lot of people who haven't had that. Talk about practical things in life. There's a lot of people that don't know how to have a conflict with their spouse or any family member in a way that doesn't end in a blow up and I hate you more than we started this conversation. Does that make sense? And you know, there's a way to resolve conflict and talk things through that doesn't end in that. But they've never learned because they're fending for themselves trying to figure it out. There are people here that probably don't know how to do a genuine, good apology when you've hurt somebody. Do you know that's an essential key to have a healthy relationship? Like of any kind of relationship. But a lot of times they just don't know because they've never seen it modeled. Mom and dad didn't do it. My brothers and sisters and I, we certainly didn't do it, right? But as, you know, good parents, they sit down when their kids get in a fight. The other one hits this one. And they help them resolve it. And they're young and you begin teaching them relationship skills. You're like, no. Now you need to apologize. Right? Then they go and they apologize, and it's a really bad apology. Sorry. It's like, okay, well, we're still training, right? So then you, the one they said sorry to, the other one, you're like, do you feel like he's really sorry? No. I don't think he was sincere either. I was like, I'm telling you, I want you to go sit in that corner until you feel ready to convince them that you're genuinely sorry. So you just take as much time as you need in the corner. And when you feel like you're ready, you just let me know and I'll go with you and you could try it again. And come back after a few minutes because the corner's not fun. They're like, okay, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have hit you. Then I'll be like, dude, that was awesome. Good job. And now what are you going to do? Are you ready to forgive them? No? Okay. Well, here's we go. You did a really good job. I'm super proud of you. Now what should you do? I want you to go sit in that corner. And just pray as long as you need to until you feel like you've forgiven them and you're ready to say that to them and make them believe you that you've actually forgiven them. They come out of the corner. They don't want to be there, right? I forgive you. Do you feel like forgiven? No. All right, well, just take as much time as you need until you can make them, convince them that you really forgive them. You guys with me? And it's like, gosh, that's tedious. That's parenting. You guys with me? And it's like they're learning real skills when they're married, right? See, when they're kids and they're hitting each other, when they have conflict, it's like, it's annoying, but it's not usually that serious. But when it's a grown man and a grown woman, people are going to jail. And so but a lot of people, they've not learned how to do these basic skills. And that's what, when you get saved and you come into the family of God, fathers and mothers, we take people under our wing and we teach people even these basic skills. And that's why we have to be humble enough, like, why are you telling me how to say I'm sorry? You think I'm like a kid or something? Well, you are. You are a kid. If you were mature in this area, I wouldn't need to tell you how to do this. Doesn't make you a bad person because all of us have things that we've not learned that we need to learn. And we need people to, we need to be humble enough to say, I may be a father, but I'm also a child that still needs to grow. Does that make sense? And in doing so, we love one another and we empower one another as a family to be our very best and to glorify God. So let me just end with this. I'll skip the last scripture. Acts 2, 41 through 47. It's so good. It's very good. It's important. But I'll just get straight to my point. I just want to say this, okay? This is my opinion, what I'm about to say. However, I am very convinced that this is right. And I say this to help you because I told you, I've been in the kingdom of God and the family of God now for since 93, 27 years now. I've been in a church for 27 years. I've never had one season of my life in the last 27 years where I wasn't part of a church family. Because I know it's like always. Like even when I move to another place, it's going to be a part of a church family. I went away to college, and Autumn and I started dating. We were always going to church, And we wouldn't just church hop. We picked one, and we'd stay faithful, and we planted ourselves there because we wanted deep relationships, not just superficial. High on Sunday morning, and then you don't really know each other. Because all the stuff that I just talk about, between the children and the fathers and the young men, the brothers and the sisters, it takes time. Being around the same people, going deeper than the surface level, good morning, how are you? Good. Because nobody has time on a Sunday morning to go very deep. It's the nature of a Sunday morning service. There's awesome things that happen here on a Sunday morning. Like you hear like the corporate worship is amazing. You get encouraged by hearing the testimonies and hearing what God's doing in the greater body of Christ. You get to hear the word of God taught, and you're like, it's so helpful. There's a lot of good things that happen. But one of the great things that are essential that very rarely happens on a Sunday morning is deep fellowship with one another. Where you actually get advice and say, I'm struggling in this, or I'm doing awesome in this. Guess what happened? And you can rejoice with those who are rejoicing. You guys with me? And for that to happen, I highly recommend that every person be involved in a smaller type of discipleship group. And many of you are already. But I want to encourage you, like, make that a priority. In my opinion, here's the way I view it. Now, traditionally in the American church, the mindset is that we view the Sunday morning large gathering as like our primary church fellowship. And we view like meeting in some type of smaller discipleship group, whatever you want to call it, as more of like an optional supplementary extra. I think it's reversed. I think when I read the Bible and I read the book of Acts, I see that our primary source of church fellowship needs to be that smaller discipleship group gathering where we can have those real, we're still studying the word, we're praying together. You guys with me? We're encouraging, we're holding each other accountable. Like all this stuff can happen in that smaller group gathering. And the larger Sunday morning, to me, I love it, but to me, that's the supplementary. That's how I view it. An illustration for that could be like, you know, you have your, in the natural family, you have your family, right? It's like you and your spouse and your children. And you have your family, but you're part of a bigger family, right? And you have like the family reunions, like 4th of July is coming up. You know, my primary family where I get family from is at my house with my wife and my three kids. But on 4th of July, holidays, just special things happen. There's a wedding. The larger family gets together, and we all come together, and we love it. We look forward to it. We enjoy it so much, and we get to just fellowship and enjoy. We have a great time, and there's a sense of identity that comes with my smaller family, but also my bigger family. I'm part of this tribe. You guys with me? That I love, and it's essential. I kind of see it that way. I think our primary source of fellowship, you need to be part of some type of smaller group. Not just where you're hanging out, do the hanging out, but you're actually reading the Bible and talking through it together. You're actually praying for each other. You're sharing needs and sharing victories and praying together until there's breakthrough. Does that make sense? You're giving advice and learning from each other. This is so important. So I want to encourage you in response to what you've learned here this morning. If you're not already involved on a regular, I would encourage at least a weekly basis, you're not meeting in a smaller type discipleship group. I would encourage you, make that be your action point. Say, I'm gonna find two or three other believers. You can join, there's several groups that are Bible studies, prayer groups that are happening. and some of the formats of what they do. Some are like mostly prayer, some are like mostly Bible study, some are a mixture of both. But join one that already exists, or start one. Like, just grab two or three brothers or sisters in the Lord and just say, you want to just get together and just like read the Bible and pray together at least once a week? And then pick a day and pick a time and just be committed to it. Everybody say committed. Say devoted. Because here, I will read one verse. Verse 42, it says, these are new believers, they devoted themselves. Notice that word. This was a what does it mean to devote yourself to something? It doesn't mean just like, if it works out, I'll be there. That's not devoted, right? Devoted means like, I will be there unless something crazy happens, like some kind of weird emergency or I'm out of town for some reason. I will be there. That's a commitment. That's a whole different level. You guys with me? And that's what they says. It said they devoted themselves to four things. It says to the apostles' teaching. Here's the one I want to focus in on. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. They were committed to like, we are going to gather together regularly. We're going to take the Lord's Supper. We're going to worship. We're going to listen to the word of God. We're going to pray for and encourage one another. We're going to minister to one another in spiritual gifts. You guys with me? So you can start one if you're like, I don't know what to do. Come talk to me. If you got two or three friends and you're like, hey, I want to get together and start meeting regularly with them, can you give me an idea of what to do when we meet? I can give you something that you could do right away. It'd be easy and you could do it. Or join an existing group. Maybe there's somebody you really admire. It's like, go ask them. Say, are you part of a group? Are you part of a discipleship group? Like, do you have like a group that you're a part of? Because I'd like to come to yours. You know, and then do it. And then stay committed there. Don't just bounce around like, I'm in this group this week, next week I'll go to this one. Because again, you're not going to develop those long-term, deeper level relationships, right? Stick with one and grow there. And then when we come together, all the groups come together on Sunday morning or whatever it is, the big family reunion, and you can rejoice and celebrate that. But anyway, that's my takeaway. Sound good? Why don't you stand with me? Thanks, guys. I want to ask you three questions, okay? And I want to call you. I want to ask you three questions, and I have them on your sheet. Did I leave blanks there? Oh, well, here you go. I'm going to give you the blanks. Number one, who is investing into your life as a believer? Who do you have that you can go to and ask those questions when you feel stuck? Or when you have a victory and you just want to tell somebody because you're so excited, who do you have that will listen, that you can call and say, guess what happened? Who's investing into your life? You need somebody. And second question, who are you investing into? Because everybody should always, there should never be a time when you aren't investing in someone and when somebody's not investing in you. And then third, are you devoted to a smaller type discipleship group? I want to encourage you to take those three questions before the Lord and say, God, who do I go to? And just start reaching out. I know it's hard, right? Because for an extrovert, it's easy. Like Abby, she makes friends everywhere she goes. Everywhere. Like she'll get there and she's a magnet. Like, she just has that kind of personality. She's a dynamic personality, right? I'm more the, I'm actually really content being the guy sitting by myself in the back of the room. I really am. I kind of like it, to be honest. I have to, but I know I need fellowship and I need that stuff. So I have to like kind of push myself out of my comfort zone sometimes to engage people in conversation, to serve people. How are you doing? How can I pray for you? But I'm so glad that I learned that, and I've been doing that because my life is enriched with those relationships because of it. But some of us are like that. You're like me, and it's going to feel uncomfortable. Like, man, I'm going to go and just start investing in someone, or I'm going to call this person up and just ask them to pray for me in this one area and see if they have one or two things that would help me out, advice. And it's going to feel uncomfortable, but just I encourage you, force yourself out. God will help you. And don't worry if it doesn't work first, second time. Just keep going. It's going to work. I promise you. in a year from now, 6 months, 3 months from now, you're going to be like, I have these relationships that I didn't have 3 months ago, and I'm so much better for it. And then commit to a discipleship group. So let me pray. Father, I just thank you that you've made us part of your family. And I just pray that you take these words, that you would seal them in our hearts, Holy Spirit, and you'd keep talking to us about these things. And I bless every person who hears this message in this room, God, that you would help us to be healthy children of God, that have spiritual fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters investing in our life, and that are investing in others, brothers and sisters, and also spiritual children, so to speak, new believers. God, help us to be healthy in all three of these areas. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Love you guys.